Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
That is rock cracking once again for the first time in the month of March 2015. You hear rock cracking in politics and you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday. You're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. If you listened to us last week, you heard the New York Times best-selling author Jonathan Cahn, The Mystery of the Shemitah. His interview went too long to get all in one show, so we're going to get the second half of the Jonathan Cahn interview, and you don't really want to miss this one. He goes more into detail. If you didn't listen to last week's show, be sure to go back and listen to that. But that's not all we have this week, because what are the Republicans doing in Congress? They said if you re-elect us, put us in charge of the United States Senate, things would change and they would help keep Obama from breaking the Constitution. Well, we're going to talk about that. But first, I have to tell you, it's cold down in the South where we record this show in Tupelo, Mississippi. In fact, we've had the biggest snowfall, I believe, in my lifetime. The last time I saw this much snow, I was 7 years old, and it came on the first day of spring. And Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had to cancel his trip from Atlanta to Memphis, Tennessee. And he went later, a couple weeks later, on April 4th, 1968. Now, is that a harbinger of things to come? Well, the best-selling author of The Harbinger will be on in a few minutes. But it's crazy, this snow down here, the biggest I've seen in my lifetime. And the president at the State of the Union address told us we had the warmest year in 2014 ever. The warmest year ever. And across America, we are in an icebox. One of the coldest winters I believe I've ever known. And I'm telling you, somebody is cooking up the statistics. And they've even alluded to that. NASA, some people are accusing NASA of going back and making temperatures colder than they were several decades ago, so that they look warmer now. And there's going to be a congressional investigation, and rightly so, if we have scientists manipulating data, and that's been proven in these people who want to call themselves climate scientists. Maybe they're pseudoscientists, but we need to know the truth. And that's why we work hard here at Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics to dig into and find you the truth and stories you won't hear anywhere else. And I have to tell you, I am so disappointed to hear that NASA may have been manipulating some figures. They're such a well-respected agency. But this administration has really, really pushed the limits on statistics. We see it in unemployment. We see it all the way around. And please, please tell me NASA's not involved in cooking the books on temperature, but global warming. These people who are pushing it and calling it climate change, I'm telling you, we've got to get to the truth, and that's why you're listening to us. Let me play you this song from Taylor Swift. Take a listen to this. Now that's Taylor Swift talking about two lovers, and I'm telling you, it reminds me a lot about the Senate Republicans, because they begged America, elect us, get us into power in the United States Senate, and the Republicans will kick Harry Reid out of the majority leadership, and American people did that. And they put the Republicans in charge, and they said, we will take care of the unconstitutional immigration declaration from the President of the United States by an executive order. Said, we'll take care of that. We get them in charge, and at the end of the year, last year, you remember, they said, we got to pass this big, huge, crominess bill to get everything done and pay for everything year out, except for the immigration. Said, we'll come back and address that when we get in charge of the Senate and the House. And what has happened? It looks like the House has had a backbone and the Senate has gone wobbly. Can you believe that? Like Taylor Swift singing in that song. I mean, I think that they've taken the American people, they got them vote for Republicans, and about held them out to dry. Not totally, because they did pass the Keystone Pipeline, and they sent the bill to who? They sent it to the President of the United States, President Barack Obama, and he dutifully vetoed it. Now, it wasn't plastered across the headlines because the paper is not going to do anything but cheerlead for the left-wing Democratic side of the party. They just mentioned the veto. They didn't mention that thousands of jobs were just wiped out by President Barack Obama with the veto. That is something Republicans finally did. Here we are in the month of March. But I have to tell you, I'm disappointed that the Republican Senate cannot stand up. And I have to say that they should have the expertise and the knowledge to bring about reconciliation or reconcile these budget bills. Now, they said, we have experience, we can do this. And what have they done? Breaking the Constitution. They said, well, look, it's under a federal judge has said this is unconstitutional. They put it on hold, so we don't need to do anything. Let's just go ahead and fold to the Democrats. That's what the Senate Republicans, some are saying. That's what John McCain, that's what Senator Lindsey of South Carolina, who's thinking about putting his hat in to run for the president. And if he can't stand up to the Senate Democrats, I just don't know if I'd want to see Senator Lindsey in any other position of authority. Those are my personal opinions. But I'm telling you, I want to see some more backbone out of these Senate Republicans. I know the filibuster can slow things down. We understand that. But there's also supposed to be some brains inside that chamber. You go into the Senate Majority Leader's chamber. It overlooks the Mall, the Washington Monument, beautiful sight right there in the Senate Majority Leader's chamber. It's a big office, but they got a little cave in there. In that little, I say it's a cave, a little room built in there. And that's where they're supposed to hammer out legislation. I'm saying let the Senate Majority Leader get some of these top Republican senators in with some experience and some young spunk like Ted Cruz and hammer out a way to work around the Senate Democrats who seem to be stifling the United States Constitution. Surely we've got the expertise to get that done. So that's Doc Holliday's take on what's going on. But I have to tell you that the future, what's going on with the Congress and Republicans in charge, I expect more. And the American people expect more. We're not talking about having a knockout, drag-out fight continuously. But you know that you said if we get you elected, that things would change, and we expect to see change. We may see some more vetoes, but put the pressure on the president. And I know the mainstream media is nothing but a cheerleader for the left-wing side of the Democratic Party. But we've got to get some kind of game plan, talking points, to let the American people know you're working hard to get some things done. In a couple minutes, we'll have New York Times bestselling author. He's written a book called The Mystery of Shemitah. And if you're not familiar with that term, go back and listen to last week's show. Very interesting. And he's got some things, maybe a little scary, I warn you. But you need to listen to what this author has to say. He's talking about this year, within a year. He's talking about 2015, some things, incredible things that he believes are going to happen, and he tells you why a shaking he believes is coming. And even though it may be a little, you may have to put your seatbelt on when you listen to the interview. It's coming up in just a couple minutes. But I did want to tell you that Lois Lerner is back in the news. Remember that name? Yes, you do, because she is one of the reasons of the IRS scandal. She admitted that they'd been targeting conservative groups, and especially Tea Party groups. And now, you know, they lost all her emails. They said they couldn't find them. But thank goodness there is some backbone in the United States House of Representatives. And that's where we had a congressman, and now he's the head of the House Oversight Committee, Chairman Jason Chaffetz. And he took that over from Darrell Issa, if you remember. And now he says that he is concerned that the IRS potentially misled the American people. He says that they misled the American people because of its efforts to recover former Director Lerner's emails. He said the IRS had claimed under oath that most of her emails were from a key time period and they were destroyed by a crashed hard drive, and that backup tapes were erased and therefore unrecoverable. And yet, through ongoing efforts, the Inspector General's office has discovered that the backup tapes do exist, and the data on them was never erased, and the emails are in fact recoverable. And so who said they were not recoverable? Who said, let's stop the investigation, in other words? And I'm glad that somebody's looking into it, because there is some incredible record of abuse of American citizens at the hands of government officials within the Internal Revenue Service. If a criminal action was done, then somebody should be in jail. And that's when we let bureaucrats become rats. And that's what it goes back to a few years ago when I turned the coin. There was Obamacrats and there's Obama rats. And an Obama rat is someone who's willing to break the law because they love the policies of the left wing so much. And that's what Lois Lerner appears to be. She's quoted the Fifth. But we need to find out, and we don't need to sweep this under the rug, because it's very important that the American citizens were abused by someone who had power as a bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. So thank you, Chairman Chaffetz, and I hope you'll pursue this matter and we see somebody behind bars to let everybody know you don't use your power as a bureaucrat to put the screws on American citizens without paying a price. Now, saying all that, there is a price to pay for America if we keep turning our backs on the truth and on what's right and what's good morals. That's what our next guest says. He is Jonathan Cahn. He is the best-selling author of The Harbinger, a book he came out with a couple years ago, and now he's got a new book, best-selling New York Times author of The Mystery of the Shemitah. First part of the interview was last week, so please go back and listen to that if you have not. Very, very enlightening of the views of the author, Jonathan Cahn. Before we get to that interview, let me remind you, you are listening to us right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. I'm your host, Ed Holliday, and you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Here and now is author Jonathan Cahn. Second half of the interview. And Jonathan, it sounds like you are connecting the dots. And then, of course, you said 2015 ends up the Shemitah year, month of September of 2015. So if you're connecting the dots, what does that mean for this coming September?
Well, a few things. You know, first of all, yeah, this is the next one. And the I put two cautions in. There's a section in the Mystery of the Shemitah called Things to Come, and this is like the only time, I mean, it's the time when I actually do put in dates, and we'll touch on it. But the thing is, the two cautions are first this. Okay. One is, you know, it's not like you can put God in a box and it has to happen according to our schedule every time or according to this thing. Sometimes it could be stronger, the phenomenon could be weaker. However, if you look at the last 40 years, it's been every time, and the last two, it's been progressively getting stronger. So that's one sign. The second caution is it could happen, and it could happen that way. So what I'll say that. So keeping those two cautions in mind, a few things. Number one, the pattern of the Shemitah is that if there's going to be a collapse, and I'm not just talking about financial, you know, we'll get into it, but it's even bigger than that. This could cause, you know, the collapse of nations too. And so, but if there's going to be a collapse, in that it will most likely happen, take place not at the beginning, but towards the end, as you said, as we approach the August September, that's the time of Elul 29. That's number one. Number two, though, often in the last two, when the Shemitah began, even though that's you know, when Shemitah begins, it's very almost, you know, very subtle. So, but each time there were signs that took place at the beginning that foreshadowed what would take place at the end. And so the question is, when the Shemitah has just begun.
Wait a minute, Jonathan, let me slow you down just for our listeners. So what you're saying is some events could have happened in the beginning of a Shemitah year, 2014, September of 2014, that could foreshadow bigger events coming in the end of Shemitah, which is this year, 2015, in the September, October era, that will be coming up soon.
Did anything happen so far that could be significant, that could be a foreshadow, as before? Well, the answer is yes. The first thing is that as soon as the Shemitah began, well, something happened. Wall Street suddenly got destabilized, and it was like, I believe it was a foreshadow of what may come. It was suddenly started reeling for about 4 weeks. I mean, nobody could explain it. It just got destabilized. Started at the end of September, the week of the September 22nd to September 26th of 2014. Well, that week is the exact opening of the Shemitah, and on the opening day, you had the biggest collapse of that you know, opening week. Secondly, a few major things happened. I told you that Shemitah can mean the fall. Well, in the first week of the Shemitah this year, when it just began, that fall, you had some very momentous thing. Number one, America within 1 week was surpassed militarily by Russia. It now has more nuclear stockpiles. It was announced 1 week into the Shemitah. Number two, even more long-term gigantic, is that America has been the strongest economic power on earth since 1871.
Jonathan, once again, let me step right in here. I want our listeners to understand, you just told us something that we have not heard in the newspapers or on the news. Maybe if it was in a bottom line, but I have never seen those statistics. You said we have lost our military readiness, our military superiority, that Russia now has more nuclear weapons than the United States. And I did not know that. And then you said that China has surpassed America. First time since 1871, America has not been the world's economic power. Statistics that I did not know, was not aware of. So, wow, Jonathan, go ahead.
There's a section in the book called The Mystery of the Towers, and it links up that this began this year, 1871, has been the strongest nation. Well, I've warned several times. I might have done it when we talked last time.
And you're talking about strongest economically. That's what.
Yes, the strongest economic. Yes, starting with that, strongest economic power on earth. And the thing is that I've warned that if America does not turn back to God, that this crown as the head of nations is going to be removed, and this is the starting one. And I said, look for the star. Well, this is what happened, Doc. 2 weeks into the Shemitah. Remember, the Shemitah can mean the fall. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks into the Shemitah, the American age that began in 1871 came to its end. We are no longer the strongest economic power on earth for the first time since 1871. We have been surpassed. The crown has gone to China. Mm-hmm. And this is just the first 2 weeks of this. Now, there's been plenty more things that have happened. So that's the foreshadow. Now, when is the timing? Well, a few things. The key timing, as I said, is when we approach this Elul 29, or this September period, September, October, Tishri period. Well, that's coming up. It's gonna the day of the actual day of Elul 29 is gonna happen on September 13th. I give several dates in the book, but that's to know of. But the interesting thing is that falls on a Sunday. Now, Sunday, the stock market's not open. That can point to a few things. If there is something, if something's gonna happen this cycle, number one, it could be something happens before or after, but also the last opening day, the last day that Wall Street will be open going into that wipeout day, is the date of 9/11. It's going to be the anniversary of September 11th, and the other, which is kind of like the beginning of the harbingers. And the other thing is that, interestingly, you know, I'm not saying, again, dogmatic, but interestingly, there's, you know, in the Bible, one of the signs of warning of judgment is the darkening of the sun. And I'm not saying that every time there's an eclipse that means that has to be, but it can be. The thing is that there's going to be an eclipse this year, this coming year, and it falls on Elul 29, the exact wipeout day of the Bible. The last two times of Elul 29, 7 years ago and 7 years before that, were the greatest collapses in Wall Street history. The last time there was a solar eclipse during Elul 29, on Elul 29, it was 1987 when it led into Black Monday, the worst wipeout in history for a percentage day. So I will say this: I'm not saying that, you know, something has to happen at the exact thing or within the Shemitah, but I believe it very well could. And number two, whether it happens now or not, I believe because all the signs, starting with the book, The Harbinger, and now with the Shemitah, they're all converging.
Now, Jonathan, you say the signs are converging for this September 2015, and, you know, we don't want to scare our listeners, but that's why I have you on, because you have a track record. You've gone back and researched these things, and I think our listeners need to know. And I know the mainstream media is not picking up, but the people are, because you're a New York Times best-selling author, and this is a very unusual. So what about this convergence?
Signs of a collapse are coming, and that whether it's in the time or beyond it, I believe a gigantic shaking is coming to America that will strike the financial realm, the economic realm, and even be greater than those realms. Just like 9/11 was caused by, you know, an event. That, I mean, the crash of Wall Street was caused by this 9/11 event. 9/11, yet it crashed on the exact day appointed the Bible. So all these things are together. So I believe we are in great, great danger, and I believe we need to be prepared. I believe this has affected our lives. I believe it's going to be even greater, and I believe we need to be prepared. So that's why I wrote the book.
Well, Jonathan, I appreciate you bringing that to our readers and explaining that. Now, I do have some questions about the year of Shemitah, and after I read your book, I'm going to tell you what I did. I don't know if you encourage it as far as individuals. What can you do? You know, what you talk about, possible Wall Street crashing makes everybody want to run, get everything in retirement out of mutual funds. I'm not saying that to happen, but I know after reading your book, and I'm a Christian, not Jewish, but, and I don't know if I had any kind of reason to do it, but I had four or five people that owed me money, some of them several years. So I went to them, said, "This is the year of Shemitah. I release you. Wow. It is yours. I don't want anything of it. If you want to give anything, give it to God." And
wow.
And so I don't know. Is that something that people ought to think about getting ready for? Or I want to see what you can do as a personal thing.
Yeah, I think first of all, I think that's a beautiful thing, and that is the ultimate thing. And, you know, and doing it as a person of faith, I think that's tremendous. I think it's great if you can do that and you're led to do that. I think people should. I think it's a great thing if you know, if that's the being led to do that. I think it's great. Yes. When people, I'm not a financial analyst, obviously, and I don't give out financial advice, except I can speak for myself. When people say, "Well, you know, how do I be safe? How can I be safe in these things?" I mean, the first thing is get right with God. That's above every single thing. Get your life right. Secondly, you know, I'll just tell you personally, I wouldn't feel comfortable having, in this period of time, I wouldn't feel comfortable having my investments in Wall Street. I just would not, or in stocks, I would not feel that. I'm talking personally.
Yeah, right. You're not a financial analyst.
The worst thing that happens is you keep it safe somewhere. But you know, on the other hand, you know, if something does go, you know, that can be a major thing. So I think, you know, there is, you know, our focus isn't those things. Our focus is God. But it is that we are to be still wise. There was preparation. And the other thing is, you know, when I was saying that, you know, I'm not saying nothing has to happen at this time in the Shemitah, all that, but it could. But I do believe either way, a great shaking is coming. And one of the things is that, you know, that when this day, Elul 29, comes at this time, it's not on a stock market day, which could mean, again, it could be a bigger event beyond financial. But the thing is that, you know, one of the things with the Shemitah, there's a there's another section called the Rise and Fall of Nations, and that is that, you know, if you look at one of the things with the Shemitah is it's not just linked to the, you know, what happens with the stock market, and that, it's the world history. You know, if you look at the rise of America, it's linked to the years of the Shemitah. Started, you know, it starts its rise to superpower in 1917 when it enters World War One. That's the year of the Shemitah. Shemitah could also mean the shaking of nations. That Hebrew word, the shaking, and that's World War One. You have the collapse of all these empires and all these things.
Wow, Jonathan, now you're going back in history. Say in 1917, and that was a tremendous year in world history in the shaking of nations and everything from Russia and the Bolsheviks and what went on in the Russian Revolution to the fall of the Ottoman Empire. All across the Middle East, everything shifted and changed in 1917. And wow, and that was a year of Shemitah.
And if you go to another year of the Shemitah, 1945, you have another global cataclysm, World War II, and you have the collapse of powers and the changing of powers, and you have the rise of America as a superpower and the Soviet Union, you got the Cold War. Well, another, you go fast forward and you see all these things. One of those cycles comes on 9/11. And when, you know, 9/11 happens, it happens at the peak, not just at the year of the Shemitah, but the end of the year of the Shemitah, that peak time. It comes on that last week when you reach that time of nullification. And remember, you know, Shemitah can mean the collapse or the fall. You literally have a collapse of towers and symbol of America. So I believe, you know, we can witness, and I've said this in different ways, but again, if we do not get right back with God, we don't come back to our foundation, that we will see the complete end of the American age. So
now let me remind our listeners, you're listening to Jonathan Kahn, and he's talking, he just said the end of the American age, but he's putting out these statistics in the year of Shemitah and these seven-year intervals and going back World War One, World War Two, and ending years of Shemitah when these wars end, and 9/11, the collapse of towers. So Jonathan Kahn is bringing to you some information that you're not getting anywhere in the mainstream media. And Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, we're glad to have Jonathan on helping explain this in his book. But Jonathan, we're going to allow you to carry on, brother.
You know, for security, it's, you know, you can't look at you know, these things that way. We could see a gigantic, massive shift of history, whether it happens again in, you know, in this the closing of the Shemitah or beyond. And the other thing is that, you know, this is a kind of bigger, now I'm kind of getting bigger and bigger, but I'll get to the thing here. At the end of the book, I didn't originally have it, but it's a thing called the mystery of the seventh Shemitah. And that is that when you get to the seventh, you know, every seventh year is a Shemitah year. But when you take seven Shemitah years, it becomes the 49th year, which leads into a super Shemitah, which is called the Jubilee. That's what the Jubilee is. So the thing is that there's a connection between the Shemitah and the Jubilee. Now, the Jubilee was the time when everybody got restored. You know, if you lost land, if you lost your home, you get it restored at the Jubilee. So the question is, could there be anything big, like a prophetic significance to this, that where the Shemitah actually gives the timing of end-time events or massive events, even with the Middle East? Well, the answer is yes. The mystery of the Shemitah, if you go accordingly, you find that during, at this peak time of the Shemitah, that points to the Jubilee, this is the 50th year. During that time, first of all, 1917 was such a year, you have the restoration of the land of Israel to the Jewish people, which is prophetic, I mean, big time. You know, right. Anybody who knows the Bible, right. Prophetic, that happens according to the year of the Shemitah, actually pinpoints the time it had to happen. And then if you go, you know, the Jubilee is 50 years, go 50 years later, or seven Shemitahs later, it takes you to 1967, you have, is there any other restoration? You have the restoration of Jerusalem, the Six-Day War. I mean, you have happening in the exact parameters, which according to prophecy. But then, lastly, if you take, now I'm not saying it has to happen, but it could just stop there, but if you go another set of 49, you know, 7 times 7, 49 years, it takes you to the year, to the end of this next year, 2015 to 2016 is the next kind of mystery of the seventh Shemitah, which every time before has pointed to a war in the Middle East, Israel, and something very prophetic. So it's like, I'm not saying it has to, but there's a lot of things that are converging on this time period.
And plus the presidential election for America in 2016. So
That's happening exactly just as well. And I believe, Doc, I mean, I believe we're at a real critical point. I mean, and what, you know, those who have read, who've read The Harbinger know that what's happened in Washington and what's happening with leaders, and including the president, has greatly affected, I mean, not only what's happening in America, an acceleration away from God, but also the signs that have appeared. One of the things about the president is that several things that he's done have been linked to these harbingers. You know, I share some of them in the book, in the Harbinger, things have happened afterwards.
Read those in the book. And but I won't, before our time slips away, now I know, looking at everything as it is now in America and all the media and the people in the positions of authority, I don't see America turning around. But what if America turned back to God? Could there be a super blessing instead of judgment? Or do you think it's too far?
Yeah, great question. And what I'd say is this. I agree. I mean, if I look at the way things are, I can't see how you turn this. But I believe that, you know, people say there's going to be judgment or revival. But the answer I'm led to give is that it can be both. You can have judgment and revival.
At the same time?
Yeah, in fact, I mean, listen, Doc, remember when 9/11 happened, everybody was flocking to churches?
Yes.
And it looked like there was going to be a national revival. But there was no revival because there was no repentance. There's no turning. If you don't have that, you can't have revival. But I believe the point of the shakings that are coming, that are predicted in the Harbinger and now with this mystery of the Shemitah, is that ultimately that those who will come. So I believe you can actually have revival among those who will come at the same time of judgment. But the point is, for us here and everybody listening, the key is, you know, when people say, what's the safest place to be? Should I put a bomb shelter? No. I mean, I'm not saying what to do, but except this. The safest place is to be in the will of God. Get your life in the will of God. That's what safety is. I wrote the books to be that we be ready, that we know specifics about what's coming, because I believe it's going to affect all of us. But the greatest safety is to be right with God, and then we need to pray for America. Yes, things, you know, I don't believe it's over with God, but I believe great shaking's coming.
Well, what a great way to end up, and you just answered that, and so appreciate you being on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Jonathan.
Thanks, Doc, it's wonderful always. I mean, wonderful to be with you. And just if you want to get the books are available everywhere online and every bookstore, but keep up the great work, Doc. It's always a real blessing.
That was author Jonathan Kahn, and he said it's always a real blessing what he just said. I don't know if it's a blessing or as a blessing. You better be prepared for September 2015, it sounds like. I hope you will pick up the book, Mystery of the Shemitah, and learn more about that. And like Jonathan said, you better take care of getting things put in order, it sounds like. Very, very, some people will call it a disturbing interview, but he put some things together, and everybody goes, oh, he's just trying to scare you. No, what I'm saying is he has put together something nobody else has put together and really makes it sound compelling to get your house in order financially and spiritually and everything else. So this is Rock Splitting Politics. We deal in the realm of politics, and today we touch some on religion. If you look at our heading, it says politics and religion on the category that we're placed in on webtalkradio.net. And we got a good dose of religion, sounds like, today. And next week, we're going to get more into the politics of what's going on in Washington, D.C., and some more on the international community. So be with us next week as we continue into the month of March, discerning for you what you need to understand and know about rock-splitting politics. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.